From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Tony Cox in for Farai Chidea. There is disturbing news from the FBI this week. Violent crime in America has been rising steadily over the last 18 months, and in 2005 posted its largest overall jump in 15 years. The trend continued this year. That means more and more Americans are becoming victims. But being a victim is not what it used to be 30 years ago. That's because today, thanks to a relatively new movement that advocates for those who are preyed upon, the result is a relatively new area of study called victimology. Today, we talk with three experts about what makes a victim. We start with Professor Stephen Walker of Fresno State University, who explained what the word victim actually means.
The term, as it was originally used, meant sacrifice, essentially sacrifice for the community. In the United States, it has almost always been applied to crime victims. When the Victims Movement started in 1972, about 5 years later, it was also applied to crime victims and victims of natural catastrophes. By the middle 90s, there was a push to use the term survivor. And so today, we combine the terms into victim survivor, and it depends upon the stages of the grieving process as to which term we use.
Now, victims didn't suddenly materialize in this country in the 1970s, but that's the time that you and others have identified as the onset of the victims' rights movement. Why then? Did something happen?
As you look at it more closely, there are four movements that were precursors of the victims' movement. We call the civil rights movement and the anti-war movement the grandparents of the victims' movement. But the real parents of the victims' movement were the women's movement that pushed for equality, and then about 10 years later, the law and order movement became a part of the victims' movement. It's push for firm punishment and especially its political expertise in getting new laws passed for victims.
Let me take you back into history to look at how the whole concept of victimization has evolved and ask you to describe this. What is the Code of Hammurabi?
Yes.
What is that?
About 2000 BC, the Code of Hammurabi in Babylon, which is currently Iraq, it is the first record that it was this huge stone that spoke of victim remedies, both in this area of crime and the civil area. The most common thing was that if you stole a cow for me, I got 10 of your cattle and you were my indentured servant for a period of time, or your son or daughter. It in essence, was the first record of victim rights that we have.
Now, coming forward through Roman law, Jewish law, English law, American law as examples, how different is American law with regard to how it treats its victims?
Today, it is very similar to the original common law, and when this country started, victims did have rights, but between about 1825 and 1850, those rights dissipated, and it wasn't until 1972. In original English common law, victims had a say in court. They often paid for the judge and paid for the prosecutor. We are today not where we want to be, but we are approaching that original view that there needs to be a balance of criminal right protections and victim rights.
Now, for academia, Professor Walker, for academia, the medical profession, criminal justice system, just to name a few. In fact, I probably should add the news media to that list as well. Victimology mm-hmm. has become almost an industry unto itself, hasn't it? And who's profiting from it?
In 1984, California State University, Fresno, started the first victimology certificate and the first major then in 1992. victims are benefiting on a daily basis from well-trained advocates. So I would say primarily the criminal justice system is learning in how to deal with victims, and victims are benefiting on a daily basis.
Final thing is this, Professor Walker, in some sense or another, isn't everyone a victim?
Starting in 1993, the actuarial tables of crime indicated that every 12-year-old in the United States would, by the time they turned 65, become a victim of a crime. In one way or the other, I could say yes, which makes it even more imperative that we understand the effects of trauma on the American public.
Professor Walker, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Professor Stephen Walker is chair of the Department of Criminology at California State University, Fresno, and a pioneer in the field of victimology. Victimization is an historical and ongoing issue within the African-American community. It's been the subject of great debate and considerable research. Joining us are two experts to explore the effects and pervasiveness of viewing blacks as victims. Carolyn West teaches psychology at the University of Washington, Tacoma. Dr. Alvin Poussant is a psychiatrist at Harvard University's Medical School. Dr. Poussant says for blacks, being a victim is often a shared group experience.
If one man is killed by someone because he's a black man, say by whites in Texas, the whole black community experiences that as a victim in a sense, because it could be a relative, it could be a friend, it could be in fact them. So I think when there's this institutionalized prejudice and racism and racial profiling, I think the whole black community experiences it, but to different extents. For instance, say that the black poor, they may feel victimized by the entire social order. Then it can become, you can see yourself totally as a victim, and that can sometimes be a handicap, because sometimes victims begin to feel helpless, like there's nothing they can do. They may become very passive. They may doubt themselves.
Well, to follow that point, Professor West, how do you get out of that mentality of being or feeling or sensing that you are a victim?
I think there's several ways. Therapeutic intervention, as a clinical psychologist, I really value that very highly. And we need to help people understand that you could be simultaneously victimized, but also a very resilient survivor. And if I could add to what the doctor said, I do think it's important to understand that the legacy of trauma is oftentimes multi-generational. For example, I've never witnessed a lynching, but my grandmother did, and she shared many of those traumatic experiences. And those experiences and events continue to live in the collective memories.
Along that line, Dr. Poussant, to what extent would you say that blacks have been a part of the so-called victims movement, which academic experts tell us began around 1972 with domestic counseling programs for victims of domestic violence and rape and the like? How much a part of that movement are we, or were we?
Well, it's hard to tell. I certainly know in all community health programs and clinics and a lot of the local hospitals, they've been trying more and more over the past years to deal with people who are victims and not just have them come into the hospital and emergency rooms and discharge them, but trying to get them help. But I think one of the answers to being a victim is to become an activist. That is, you have to fight back. Otherwise, the emotional experience of being a victim, you know, frequently leads to a lot of anger. And frequently that anger is let out on other people. If black people victimize each other in their own community, then they begin not to trust each other as much. Mm-hmm. Then it's more difficult to organize them into activities, into political groups and get them involved in civic affairs, because they're too tense and project a lot of their anger on each other.
One thing I'd like to sort of bring this to a close on is this, and I want to direct it to both of you. The FBI is reporting this week that violent crime is rising once again after more than a decade of decline. So first to you, Dr. Poussant, what do you think has fueled America's changed attitude towards victims and victims' rights in the last generation? Is it driven by the criminal element and a sense of outrage at those who commit violent crime?
I think so. It comes from a long understanding that we ignored victims, and that we have to, there's such a thing as victim rights, and they need to be attended to. They also need help, not only to help them psychologically, but also to prevent further violence, if possible.
What do you say about that, Carolyn West?
I think that with the FBI statistics, you know, there's this surge in violent crimes such as murder and rape and robbery, and that's accelerated in the first half of 2006. And unfortunately, African Americans, especially if they're low income and live in urban areas, will be overrepresented as victims. And the problem is that researchers often fail to consider the historical and social and economic context. And we sort of assume that blacks are inherently violent or it's hopeless to try to intervene. And then on the other hand, we sometimes take a colorblind approach and just assume that violence is the same for everyone, victimization is the same for everyone, and we overlook some important racial differences. So we really need to consider more of the complexity.
Do either of you think that we are stuck in this cycle, this victimizing cycle?
No, I'm an optimist. I think that if there's more violence, we have to do research, find out why it's happening, what's changed, and it could be multi-layered. And I think then we should try to intervene on all levels.
Carolyn West, do you share that optimism?
I absolutely. I mean, it's what keeps me doing the work that I do. You know, I am very optimistic. And I do believe that people who have sustained trauma are remarkably resilient in many cases, and we need to foster and support that.
Dr. Alvin Poussat, Professor Carolyn West, thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Dr. Alvin Poussat is an author and professor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School. Carolyn West is a professor at the University of Washington, Tacoma, and an expert on gender and race issues of victimization.